today about the research that I've been doing for my occupational therapy doctoral work regarding community-based exercise, secondary conditions, and participation in individuals with mobility impairment. This research study was performed at the Enabling Mobility Center, which is a community-based facility formed by a collaboration with Washington University School of Medicine in Paraquad, an independent living center. The study was part of an ongoing health and wellness program, which was funded by the Missouri Foundation for Health. Health promotion services for people with disabilities, specifically opportunities for physical activity, are much needed in this population. According to Healthy People 2010, the lack of emphasis on health promotion for people with physical disabilities has increased the occurrence of secondary health conditions and compromised the health, well-being, and participation in life activities in this population. In 2005, the Surgeon General's call to action emphasized that the health and wellness of people with disabilities was a public health responsibility. Literature demonstrates that exercise has been shown to improve muscular strength and muscular and cardiorespiratory endurance in people with disabilities. Exercise has also been shown to reduce the incidence and prevalence of secondary conditions. And finally, exercise has been linked to improvements in participation. However, we need to continue collecting fitness data so that exercise effects can be studied more in depth in this population. We also need to study participation as true participation. According to the International Classification of Functioning Disability and Health, participation is involvement in a life situation and includes the current environment in which an individual is performing. In this study, we measure participation in an individual's natural environment, both at home and in the community. So taking all of this into account, we formed the following hypotheses. The community-based exercise program will be associated with improved strength and cardiorespiratory endurance, decreased frequency of secondary conditions, and increased frequency and quality of participation. Participants in the study included individuals who had a mobility impairment requiring the use of an assistive device and who also lived in the community. Study participants were recruited from current and former participants of the Enabling Mobility Center and through referrals by several area healthcare organizations in the greater St. Louis area. Two self-report surveys, the CORE and the PARTS-M, were used to collect information on demographics, secondary conditions, and participation. 19 secondary conditions were included in the CORE survey. The PARTS-M is an instrument which measures participation in 20 major life activities, which are classified into 6 of the 9 domains of the ICF: self-care, mobility, domestic life, interpersonal interactions and relationships, major life areas, and community, social, and civic life. One repetition maximum was used to measure strength, and rating of perceived exertion, speed, and heart rate were used to measure cardiorespiratory endurance. One repetition maximum was assessed on the upper tone, an accessible universal weight machine, which is pictured here on the slide. The rickshaw, chest press, and rowing exercises were those used for analysis because they were the most common ones performed across all participants. Cardiorespiratory endurance was assessed using an upper body 9-minute arm test on either an arm ergometer or the active passive trainer. The piece of equipment pictured here is the arm ergometer. Rate of perceived exertion, average speed over the 9 minutes, and heart rate, both at baseline and after the exercise test, were measured. The active passive trainer, pictured on this slide, was the other piece of equipment used to assess cardiorespiratory endurance using the same 9-minute arm test. So after participants were recruited into the study, they completed baseline surveys, the CORE and the PARTS, before coming into the Enabling Mobility Center for a 2-hour health education workshop. During the workshop, participants were introduced to the program, were given health handbooks, and were given a tour of the Enabling Mobility Center. At this time, they chose whether or not they wanted to exercise. And for those who chose to exercise, which are the individuals in this particular study, an individual baseline fitness assessment was conducted, and a client-centered exercise program was developed. Participants exercised 1 to 3 times a week for 12 weeks, and the final fitness assessment was performed at 12 weeks. And then finally, participants completed a second round of surveys, the CORE and the PARTS, at 4 months. The design of the study was a within-group repeated measures design with one group, the exercisers. The entire program is depicted on this slide, but my study fits within the time period of baseline in 4 months. All assessment periods are depicted by the arrows, and the ones in the gold color represent the assessment periods for this particular study. Both parametric and non-parametric tests were used during data analysis, including descriptive statistics, multivariate repeated measures analyses, Wilcoxon and sign tests, and paired samples t-tests. Now for the results. And some of these are difficult to read, so if anyone would like copies of handouts, then please come up to me afterwards. I'd be happy to give them to you. A total of 35 participants were included in the study, and the average age was 44.7. Gender groups were fairly equal, and a majority of the sample was Caucasian. Spinal cord injury and cerebral palsy were the most frequently reported diagnoses, making up approximately half of the sample. And the primary mobility device used was a power wheelchair. So strength findings are very promising. Mean strength increased in all exercises within both arms over 12 weeks of exercise, and this was significant at the 0.001 level. For cardiorespiratory endurance, speed on the active-passive trainer approached significance. Resting heart rate increased slightly and recovery heart rate decreased slightly, but neither was significant. And finally, rate of perceived exertion, which was measured at stage 3 of the 9-minute test, decreased slightly but was not significant. Okay, so in regards to the frequency of secondary conditions, this graph represents the percent of participants who experienced a condition across time. The bars represent the percentage of people who answered yes to having a condition within the past 3 months. The red bars indicate time 1 at initial, and the yellow bars indicate time 2 at 4 months. Most of the participants demonstrated a change in the desired direction. That is, the percent of participants who experienced a condition decreased over time. This decrease approached significance in 3 conditions: shoulder elbow wrist problems, circulatory problems, and skin problems. Fatigue decreased significantly at the 0.05 level and is noted by the asterisk. Another way to explain the frequency of secondary conditions is by observing the average number that participants experience. From initial assessment to 4 months, the average number of conditions that participants reported decreased from 6.7 to 5.6, which was significant at the 0.01 level. This graph depicts 3 types of participation scores which were calculated. Temporal total reflects the frequency of participation across all 6 domains measured in the parts. The person score represents the impact that illness, pain, and fatigue had on participation across all 6 domains. And EQOP, which stands for Evaluative Quality of Participation, reflects a person's choice, satisfaction, and importance when participating in activities across all 6 domains. The desired trend for all of these scores is that they would increase, reflected by the orange bar being higher than the blue. And although no change was significant, the temporal and person scores did increase. So individuals are basically participating slightly more, and their participation is slightly less limited than pain, illness, and fatigue. However, their choice, satisfaction, and importance has slightly decreased. So this is basically the same graph as just previously reported, but only for the self-care domain, because this is the only domain that demonstrated an approach to significance. Self-care tasks are basic activities which are necessary to maintain health and include dressing, bathing, toileting, and feeding. And this graph depicts changes that were made within all 3 scores in the self-care domain between initial and 4 months. And it follows a similar trend that we observed for the total domain scores on the previous slide. So overall, the graph again demonstrates that individuals are participating slightly more in self-care activities and that their participation is slightly less limited by pain, illness, and fatigue. So focus groups were conducted in addition to collecting quantitative data. The goal for the focus groups was to acquire more in-depth information regarding participants' experience of secondary conditions, their experience in the program, and participation in activities at home and in the community. Participants were eligible to be part of the group if they'd finished 12 weeks of exercise and had completed their second round of surveys. Purposive sampling was used to recruit participants, and 2 groups of 8 to 9individuals each were conducted. Some direct quotes from participants regarding secondary conditions include, "After the exercise program, they are gone, so I can't say that I have them. I mean, seriously, I used to take antidepressants. I had a pressure sore, and now it's gone. My UTI is gone, too. Another person says, I was scared to come out of the house. I used to carry pills, and I was scared to exercise. I lost 40 pounds and discontinued my diabetic medicine. Participants also mentioned several positive comments in regards to their increased quality of participation. One person says that I feel stronger and I can do hills and I can do transfers better because I'm stronger in my arms. And another person said, I do the same amount of things, just get there a little quicker maybe. It helps as far as day-to-day stuff. Helps me with other things. And finally, here are some other overall perceptions that participants shared in the focus groups. So in addition to the results previously discussed, individuals also mentioned improvement in psychological functioning and increases in social interaction. During the four-month intervention period, participants demonstrated, first of all, increases in strength, which are particularly important because the literature shows that strength may be one of the most critical components of physical fitness in individuals with mobility impairments. Upper body strength is used for several daily activities, including transfers and lifting tasks. And although no change was seen in variables measuring cardiorespiratory endurance, a trend towards significant was demonstrated in speed. This suggests that participants were able to go faster doing the same 9-minute test after 12 weeks of exercise, which could translate into improved efficiency in functional activities. The insignificant changes in both resting and recovery heart rate are consistent with the exercise literature in this population. The effects of exercise on heart rate in individuals with mobility impairments does not typically follow similar trends as that of the able-bodied population. Overall, the frequency of secondary conditions decreased. As demonstrated in the literature, a decrease in these conditions can translate into fewer rehospitalizations and healthcare provider visits. In the long run, this could save money not only for the individual, but for the healthcare system as a whole. And although the data revealed little change in participation, trends towards increased frequency were demonstrated overall and specifically within the self-care domain. Self-care activities may be the first ones to be influenced by exercise. One confounding variable related to finding little change in participation could have been the study sample. Several participants in the study were individuals that were already coming to the Enabling Mobility Center and participating in several programs, so they could have already been participating at higher levels than the average population. And additionally, the weather might have been a confounder. A majority of the sample completed their 4-month survey during the winter months and so could have been participating less in activities at time two, simply due to barriers caused by the weather. So in regards to the limitations, I've already mentioned the potential sampling bias. And in addition, the sample size was fairly small. There's discontinuity across some of the equipment, and malfunctioning of equipment made data collection difficult at times. We lacked certain high-tech equipment that limited us from assessing variables such as VO2 max. And finally, it may take longer than 4 months to observe the effects of exercise on secondary conditions and/or participation. So in the future, we can continue the study to incorporate a larger number of participants and to extend the time period in which we are measuring potential exercise effects. A qualitative measure of participation could also be added to the program, and we could incorporate more activities to increase self-efficacy and self-management. One thing to remember is that participation may not simply increase because of exercise alone. Other mediating variables come into play, such as an individual's motivation and his or her environment. Physical and social environmental barriers may continue to have a significant impact on participation, despite an individual's improved functional capacity. So we must take all of the variables into account and strive to enable participation through various interventions, including that of exercise. And finally, I'd like to thank all of these people who helped make my research.